gaze upon your beauty and to seek you in this holy place.
Indeed, Lord God, only you can satisfy. And so all the days of our lives, let us look to you, the God who satisfies the desires of every living thing. And never take our gaze away from you, fixing our eyes upon you, the author and the finisher of our faith. As we go into the word this morning, Lord, this afternoon we come under the covering of our fathers. And we come in humility and humility, penitence, and repentance under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I come to pray, O God, I ask you for mercy. Mercy upon me, upon my heart, and upon my lips. Fresh unction, I pray, from your throne, according to the prayers of my fathers, so that, Lord, I will minister this word, a word of encouragement. It will come forth as a word of life. That, Lord God, it will go forth in power, clarity, simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, and will do an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation, insight from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the fruit of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I also pray, Lord, that as the word goes forth, Lord, every burden, Lord, every weight, Lord, every care that is holding us down, let it be dispelled in the name of Jesus. That indeed there will be a release, Lord, in the lives of your people as your word goes forth, bringing liberty. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask, O God, that as the word goes forth, help me to be concise and to be precise. Lord, redeeming the time, saying only those things that you'd have me say, Lord God, so that, Lord, as the scribe instructed to the kingdom, I'll bring forth things old and new. Lord, I will not waste time. Lord, I will, Lord, say what you would have me say. And indeed, Lord God, your power will go forth to inspire and to encourage us to arise and to run continually, Lord, this race that you have set before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Before we go into the word, I'd just like to really thank God for our fathers, pastor and mommy, whose lives and whose ministry over these years continues to transform, inspire, challenge, encourage, support, and bring us closer and closer to the promised hope that we see in the Word of God. It's so precious to have fathers like the fathers God has given us. They're such a gift, not just to us, but to the entire body. I want to say thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. May the Lord continue to strengthen you, and may you see the travail of your soul and be first partakers of the blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that this word be a blessing to my fathers and to you, all of my brethren. I bring a word that is from the word, and that's why I said, no, we really need to appreciate our fathers. It's in their light that we see light. And from the word night service that they both preached, and the ministration last week that pastor shared with us about humility wickedness, you know, and instruction, humility, instruction on wickedness, you know, God has, I believe, given me a word. You know, and it's entitled Turning into Our Pleasant Land. Turning into Our Pleasant Land. Now we know it. This is a year where we're breaking the veil of the flesh. Amen. To enter into the holiest of all. This is the year of pleasant surprises. You know, as Pastor David was saying and echoing again. And that's the year we're in. It's a year when God is using what the enemy planned for evil to surprise us with good. Amen. Is the year where he's using Satan's plan to divide, to surprisingly unite us in the church. Amen. It's a year where he's using Satan's multiple attacks of discouragement to perfect our faith and launch us into a place of permanent victory. Amen. That's the year we are in. A year where God is doing more than we can ask or think. according to the exceeding greatness of the measure of his power that is working in us. Amen. That's the year we're in. Okay, and just as a recap, just so that we can understand the background, I'm not going to turn to scripture, just going to hit it running. I trust that my brethren upstairs are with me. Amen. All right, so Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, Pastor shared with us at the what night service very clearly that we've seen in the earth universal shaking. And that's what COVID-19 has done. It's a universal shaking of all nations at the same time. And that has never happened before. So we know that the scripture is being fulfilled. And the next part of that scripture, as you will see, is that the desire of all nations, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, shall come. Now the Lord is coming first in us, in the character of Christ. So right now he has already come. Okay, and now we are about to see the filling of the house with the glory of God. All right, so Pastor shared that with us. As you can put it this way, God has come in cleansing perfection in the church, and he's now about to go a step further into manifesting perfection. Amen. It's the same thing. You'll be correct in saying that they're the same. All right, in Isaiah 59, he also shared with us from Isaiah 59, in verses 12 to 14, you see the problem in Isaiah 59, that truth has fallen in the streets. Equity cannot enter. Men love darkness rather than light. And it is that has caused all these plagues, this plague that we're looking at, and all the shaking that is going on is because of the cumulative effect of man's sins over time. All right, and then we see God's solution in verses 17 and 19. We see God's response to raise up his, I would say, his arm brought him salvation. Amen. The arm there is talking about the body of Christ that is in intercession. Amen. Okay, so there is a remnant on the earth that is in intercession. They are the arm of the Lord. They put on the whole armor of God, as you see in that scripture, you know, and then in verse 20, we see what God is doing. Okay, so let's look at verse 19. Give me 19 and 20 in the Amplified. Very quickly. Thank you very much. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. So, as the result of the Messiah's intervention, God's going to intervene. He's intervening already. Amen. They shall reverently fear the name of the Lord from the west. That's in the European, American, you know, that side of the world. No, God, they're going to fear the Lord because they already have God, but no, they don't. They've lost him, you know, all right? But now the fear of him is going to return, amen? And his glory from the rising of the sun, that's in the east where they don't know God. Now, when the enemy shall come in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight, for he will come like a rushing stream which the breath of the Lord drives. There's another version of the Amplified that talks about, just Amplified without the C, not the classic edition, that talks about the fact that God overwhelms his enemies. Overwhelm. So he just is overwhelming. There's no resistance. That's what we're coming to. Amen. Alright. Now verse 20, please. And so the Redeemer, Lord have mercy. All right, so I need to have this. So the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Amen. Right. Okay. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Okay. So he comes now as a Redeemer to those in Zion and to those who turn. And that's the title of the message, Turning into a Pleasant Land. Moses had to turn when he saw the burning bush. Where God is taking you to, you're not going to get there by just following a map and going straight there. You're going to walk with God moment by moment, step by step, and you're going to have to turn. Sometimes God will say something and that's not what you think, but you have to turn. And your readiness to turn will now determine his ability to come to you, because he's coming to those that turn from transgression. So God is saying that we need to turn. No, and we know the turning is talking about here is a turning away. That's why Pastor preached that message. That was the first message of the year. you know, humility and instruction. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles, in 7:14, it says, my people who are called by name shall turn from their wicked ways. That's why, because God wants to do something this year. And we have to turn from wickedness so that our prayers can have the weight that it should have. And the power that will overwhelm all of our enemies. That's the will of God for us. And it's going to be manifest in Jesus' name. Amen. So that's we see now turning begins in the heart. And then it flows out into the conduct. Okay? Jacob turned from Jacob to Israel. He wrestled all day long, but he said, I will not let you go. There was determination in his heart. And then God now touched the hollow of his thigh, and he changed his walk. The same way God is going to change your walk. He's going to change my walk. He's going to change our lives. Amen? Progressively, until we become who God wants us to be. So it's not a place where you're just mouthing words, or you're pretending to serve man. Is a place where we turn from wicked ways and we turn to God with all of our heart. Amen. Okay? And if you look at Romans 16:17, I just have that scripture here. You know, I want to show you, let's read Romans chapter 6, verse 17. I beg your pardon. 6:17. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed where? We have obeyed where? From the heart. That form of doctrine which was delivered you. This thing is from the heart. You cannot do outward show and omit the heart. Now that's a stumbling block. Like Pastor was preaching many times. Where in the church, even today, we do things on the outside. We do service. Pastor was preaching on Wednesday. Where he says that, no, what does God desire from you, O man? To fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love the Lord. It begins in the heart with the fear of the Lord. Amen. And of course, in Ephesians 6:6, we see that Bible says doing the will of God from the heart. So this issue is from the heart. Now, why? Because it's an exhortation. So why is this is this important? Why is God doing this? God is shining light, and thank God for fathers who see light in God's light, sons of Issachar, that have understanding of the times and what Israel have to do, what Israel must do, and the capability and the capacity to do it. Every time we turn to obey God's instruction, life flows, the mercy of God. When you turn in honesty, Pastor Peter Duin, when he was talking about the integrity of our, the mercy of God flows on the outside into you and I. And that mercy works on your heart. It works on our bodies. And begins to transform us. Begins to work in us. So that as we turn and begin to do what God has asked us to do, the mercy from the honesty and the grace from the humility begins to turn and work on your heart. You know, when God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, he made him, that was the factory setting. That was the factory setting. God was just sharing that with me as the choir was singing. Pastor Andrew was reading it. You know, he says, he restores my soul. He's restoring our soul to the factory setting. To the way it was in Adam without no sin. He's restoring our body to the factory setting. So that there will be, what is in the spirit will naturally flow out. There will be no veil. But God is changing that factory setting from stubble. He takes it to hay, from hay to wood, from wood to precious stones, then to silver, then to gold, and then to fine gold. That's the will of God. So every time you turn, there is a work being done in your heart. Every time God, we will not resist in Jesus' name. Will not be stubborn in Jesus, but every time we refuse or we reject instruction, what Pastor was teaching us last week about wickedness, you know, we reject the light, so our hearts are harder. Our hearts will not be hard in Jesus' name. Amen. And then we go further away from the factory setting. So we are wasting time. That's not our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. And no, if you look at in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, please give me that in the Message Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit. the Message Bible, 2 Timothy 2:21. Thank you. Thank you. Let's read together. Become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to his guests for their blessing. God wants to use you and I to serve. The Bible says there were different. The king made a feast. No, there were two feasts in Esther. And there were goblets that they were using to serve people. Okay? And you and I are a goblet. And people are drinking from you. Question, what kind of goblet are you? The one tradition talks about some vessels for ordinary uses and some vessels for special uses. You are a vessel of special use in Jesus' name. That's the will of God for us. Amen. So we see that. And as an example, if you look at Isaac and Father Abraham, when they went up on Mount Moriah, when he asked his daddy, "Daddy, where we know the Bible, if you look at that story, you know that he was in his teens. Somewhere between 15 and 18, somewhere there. He was there. So he wasn't a little boy. He wasn't a fool. So when he was asking daddy, where is the lamp? I see the fire, the things for the fire. I see that everything's here except the lamp. Daddy said, God will provide himself a lamp. Stop, daddy, now. What kind of statement is that? I don't understand that. What's the meaning of that? I'm talking about turning. It didn't make sense. Just like it doesn't make sense to you and I when we're looking, it didn't make sense. Sometimes God gives us instruction from the pulpit through our fathers. Sometimes they talk to you direct about your children, about you, about your work. And it doesn't make sense what they're saying. But the key is, do you hold on to it? Or do you reject it because it doesn't make sense? Because not everything that will make sense to you. It didn't make sense to Isaac, but Isaac held on to it. But because he turned and held on to it, look at what God did. Psalm 118, verse 27. Psalm 118, verse 27. Thank you, Spirit. Psalm 118. Verse 27.
Let's read it. Say, God is the Lord. God is the Lord, which had showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. God bound him. He bound himself with the light he got from God. God spoke to him direct and gave him light and said, look, son, you need to trust. Your daddy is not going to do anything to you. And he let his daddy tie him up. It's not normal. It's not natural. That's the effect of light. Is God telling you to do something? And you are it's looking as if, this thing doesn't... This is not loving your life unto the death. Mommy was preaching it on the ordinary service. Not loving your life unto the death. But you can't do it without light. But the first thing is to turn in your heart. Be willing to do the will of God. Bible says, if any man is willing to do the will of God, he will know. So he was willing to do what his daddy said. He hadn't done it, he just was willing. And then God now gave him light. And then he bound himself. The Bible says that we should make ourselves, we should present our bodies a living sacrifice so that we can be transformed in our bodies by the renewing of our mind. It's a function of turning to receive light. Because it's when you get light that you will be able to not to be conformed to the world. Because there's a certain level of light that is coming to the world, but you are operating on a different light source. Because you chose to turn to the instruction, to do the instruction, what God has said. The second reason, so that's for the individual. The second reason is that when individuals who have turned gather together, then they become very powerful. They become what mommy calls, I'll say what mommy calls because I never heard it before until she said it, but even though I'm sure it existed before, the ecclesia of God. you become God's called out ones. And through you, God can then do incredible things. Even from the, we know from the book of Genesis that in the Bible, at the Tower of Babel, ordinary men, fallen men, men that didn't have God, alienated from the covenant of promise, strangers from the commonwealth of Israel, they decided to build a tower and got God's attention. God had to say, look, these people will succeed. If we don't do something, let's change their language. How much more now, if as a group, we are turning to instruction, we know we are aligning our hearts with instruction and doing what we have been asked to do. What happens? This supernatural life and the power of God that changes character and brings glory now flows through us. The first one of Isaac works in you. This second one works through you. Because we are now together. Amen. And we can now do incredible things. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Again, Pastor quoted this scripture at the Wednesday night service. Talking about unity. Okay. And it says that 1 Corinthians 1, 10. Quickly. Is it there? All right. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how can you do it? It's by the name. Okay? Because it's in his name that you have life. Amen. John 20. No. Okay? So anytime you receive life through that name, say, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. So we are saying the same thing, we are willing the same thing, and we are thinking the same thing. And Pastor uses that to say this. He said, when you pray the word of God, when you pray according to the word, you are praying the scripture, and you pray in tongues and in groanings, you're effectively, when we gather together in intercessory school, but guess what we are doing? We're fulfilling this. We're fulfilling this. Every time we pray, good morning, Jesus, we're fulfilling this. Amen? So we're praying. No, we're praying. That is so there's a flow. As we do that, and that level of unity does this. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Thank you. That exceeding greatness of his power. Amen. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. That's light. That's light that comes through the instruction. So, That we see that. Next verse. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So that's what we're talking about. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe. You cannot remove that part. To us ward who believe. It is to those whose wills are aligned with the will of God. So God is in heaven. The fathers are there. You are there. It's a breaker company. We are aligned. It's when we are all in line that exceeding greatness power steps out and manifests. And that's why what God is doing now, that's why we are seeing the invisible. And we have to continue to live by seeing the invisible. But then you can't be looking at the visible. You can't look at the invisible for some time and then go back to the visible. Or look at the invisible when things are not going so rosy. Then when things are going well, then now, is that not what happens? Hello? Hello, sir. Is that not what happens? Many times when things are, I fix my eyes on you. And then when things are better, then you fix your eyes on the things. Then when things are well, I'm sorry, I forgot. I fixed my eyes on you. No. God have mercy on us. We have to keep our eyes on him all the time. It doesn't matter what he's doing on the earth. You must keep your eyes on the invisible things of him. It's that exceeding power that helps you do it. It's done in a company. And God has so placed you in a company where it is possible. Because you found the right company. Amen? All right, there are other companies. But God has put you here. So thank God. All right? And we see also in Psalm 133, we see the same oil. That's on the Lord Jesus Christ flows onto Aaron's beard
and to all the scales of the earth. It's the same. It says, there God has commanded what? The blessing, even life, is the spirit without measure. It is without measure. So, but it operates in people whose wills and minds and actions are synchronized together in unity. And that's why we must always walk in unity. Amen. That's the will of God for us. And we see two examples here. Quickly, John chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. John chapter 6. We are going to the other side. And we're going to get to the other side in Jesus' name. Sooner than you think. Because sometimes when you think you've given up, you've tried something, and you have been doing it for a long time, it's as if, would this thing ever, I hear you, sir. But when God does that, when the Lord turned our captivity, we are like them that dreamed. I never thought it could be like that. So when they had rode, Jesus went up to pray. They just finished the miracles. They were going to keep her now. That, because that's where they had a house. Okay? Oh, so and they were going. The Bible says when they had rode about 5 and 20 furlongs, they see Jesus. Before this, verse 18, you know, let's let me get, don't turn there. Because it may take time coming back. There was a wind. There was a strong wind. There is always a wind when you're going to the purpose of God. As Pastor was preaching this morning, he's not going to allow us to stroll into the glory of God. He's going to come with opposition at every point. So, there being opposition is not a new thing, but it's going to work to help us, not work against us. Amen? So, we see here that they had rowed, and they saw Jesus walking on the sea, and he was drawing nigh unto the sheep, and they were afraid. I don't know what situation you are in right now, and things are looking bleak. There is a wind. Things are not standing. What you thought was bad, it's gone from bad to worse. And it's like, hey, God, where are you? God wants to answer you. Verse 20. But he saith unto them, it is I. Tell your neighbor, it is I. He said, it is I. Be not afraid. God is talking to you. Don't be afraid. Next verse. Then they what? Willingly. One more time. What's that word? They turned willingly of their own free will to him, received him to the ship, and what? Immediately. The ship was at the land where they went. Talk about turbo. Quantum leap. Pleasant surprise. They were at the other side. Amen. All right. Then you also see in Gideon, Judges chapter 16, Judges chapter 7, verse 16. You see Gideon. You know the background. The Midianites always came when the fruit was going to come. That's when the Midianites come. When they are planting, the Midianites will not come. When they are watering, the Midianites will not come. I don't know, maybe you recognize some Midianites in your life. When the fruit, not, I'm not talking about when your promotion, I'm talking about when the fruit of the Spirit that God wants to bring forth, loving kindness, gentleness, long suffering, when you're in a situation where you're supposed to do it, that infirmity will just come up and you just get angry and you say the one that you're not supposed to say. It's a Midianite. They waited for the time when the fruit was sown because that's when they came. So, but Gideon was, he had had it up to here. I'm not taking that again. I need to get that point where you're not going to take it again from the devil. Because the fruit of the Spirit is under your control. It's under our control. We can control it. By the Spirit, you know, he's giving to us. So, long story short, God told him that this was not going to be so, and he believed it. And then God said, okay, let's get an army. So, they got an army of 32,000 together. And then God said, I do something very strange. He said, go and tell them, anybody who's afraid, let them go. Ha! 22,000 left. Ha! Only 10. Okay, 10,000. Okay, let's see. We can still try. And he said, okay, those who the words that I left, just when you get to one place, I'll tell you what will happen. So when they got to place when they were going to place, all those that dropped their weapons and were drinking water, he said, exclude those ones. From 10,000 to 300. Gideon said, we have entered it today. So we are going to face these Midianites with these 300. But you're not going to face them with natural weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're not saying it because it's a cliche. They are truly not carnal. They are not carnal. So if you are looking at the strength of the numbers, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, the dominion of righteousness, peace, and joy, total, over your spirit, soul, body, and the air around you. It's His pleasure to give us. It's His pleasure. And it's going to, He's giving us. Amen? All right, so we see that was what happened. So Gideon was... He believed God, but again, he had these doubts. So God said, okay, go into their camp. And God gave that, like what Pastor said. But he said, you make war by the prophecies that have gone ahead. So God made the Midianites prophesy to you. God will make your enemy prophesy to you. Where you are, he made the Midianites. One of them had a dream, and they saw a rolling weight of barley come to them and say, ah, nothing but the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And Gideon was encouraged. You make war by prophecy. Look at the prophetic words God has given us. Look at this one that we just shared this morning that we reminded ourselves, our pastor shared with us. You know, in Haggai. Look at the one we're talking about in Isaiah 59. Bible says that he will lift up a standard. He will overwhelm the opposition. Amen. We're talking about Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Pastor Day was preaching today again this morning. When you're going within the veil, you make war with these prophetic words. When you are praying in the spirit on Tuesday, that's what you should be seeing. You'll be thinking on the scripture. So it becomes real. It's not about what pastor said. It becomes personal to you and I. That's the will of God. You are burning it in. You are changing the material. You are restoring to factory setting. You are moving from one step to another. As you are doing that, you are moving. You are not staying in one place. So it was a journey for Gideon until the time when he saw that. Then he was now clear. Look at verse 16. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand, the declaration of the word of God, the prophetic word. Amen. With empty pitchers and lamps within the pitcher. The lamp is the spirit of a man, is the lamp of the Lord. So the lamp is there, and there is an empty pitcher. So there's nothing there. Okay? Next verse, verse 17. Instruction. Turning. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. That's what our Father said. Just copy. Imitate. Amen. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. It's very important. That's why it's so important to turn. You must stay with what you have been asked to do. You know why? Because instruction comes with grace. It may not look reasonable, but there is a power that is able to turn the situation around. If you believe and start walking in the light of it. He says, I've been in the way, the Lord led me. Instruction always comes with grace. Amen? All right, so we see that. So let's jump to verse 19 and 20. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him, they came onto the outside of the camp in the beginning of middle watch. That's why you wake up in the morning at 5 o'clock. You know, in the fourth watch. They were even in the middle watch. Okay? And they had but newly set the watch. See why good morning Jesus is so key. You have to be up. Get up. That's when your destiny is being determined. And have a say in the day. Otherwise, you won't have a say in the day. And the day you that's not your portion in Jesus' name. But other people will be dictating circumstances beyond your control. But when you wake up with good morning Jesus, you dictate the circumstances. So they work together for your good. That's the will of God. Amen. All right. And they came to the camp, beginning of the middle watch. And their new neighbors set the watch. And they blew the trumpets, declared the word, and break the pitchers that were in their hands. Now, that is a type of the love of God coming out from cleansing perfection into manifesting perfection. Look at the next verse, verse 20. And the three companies blew the trumpets. Unity. It's unity is behind all this. Unity, intercession, love. And break the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hand and the trumpet in their right hand. Where is their sword? They don't need one.
They don't need one. They are in the presence of God. Amen. And God has gone ahead to fight their battle. And they cried. No bones shall be broken. Amen.
You must, every word that you hear our fathers declare, and I say it's for us, be declaring it for yourself. Declare it for your children. Teach your children to declare it for themselves. Amen. They declared it, and they said, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. It could have been anything else. Whatever they said, they should say. And then look at what happened. Verse 21.
And they stood every man where? In his place round about the camp. And all the host did what? And did what? They cried and they fled. They ran. Then they were crying as they were running. Then they fled. That is that they fled on top of the running. They scattered. They scattered. Then it was after that they now fought. So brethren, this fight is not your own by natural means. It is by spiritual means. The battle is the Lord's. But we fight with love. So when you don't turn to love, you're not allowing the material of your soul and your body to be a conductor or a superconductor. So the amount of the power of God that comes out will not be astronomically high. But as we allow and exercise ourselves, and that material keeps changing, then it gets back to the factory set. And then you can imagine the things that God is doing. So right now, God is changing us. He's changing us. And that's what this is all about. As we go to how. So how do we do this, brethren? It's very straightforward how we do it. By watching and praying. Pastor said it beautifully, and I want to echo it again. God does not expect immediate perfection. He expects immediate decision and immediate practice. So go over what you've been doing. Don't just keep doing the same thing. The things that you have not been doing well, ask yourself, go to God and say, Lord, I confess my sins. I want to improve on this thing. I don't want to stay here. There's no, don't be stagnant. Don't let's be stagnant. Let's move in. The land is before us. Let's occupy. Let's start doing things more efficiently. Amen. Confess your sin. Don't say, oh, because I'm alone, I will sleep lying down. No, sit up. Get up from the place where you will sleep. Amen. Get up from the where you will sleep. And go over the prophetic. Go over the words. There was a time when, to a point where I said, look, I am not sleeping again. You must say to yourself, Gideon said, I'm not going to have this thing again. And this thing, they've done it over and over and over. I'm tired. Mommy says this, we've been around the mountain long enough. We're tired of some infirmities. Turn ye northward. It's now time to turn to the place of prayer where God is. Amen. Concentrate. All those confessions. You know, mommy makes a set of confessions. Amen. Then under the covenant confessions, Pastor William makes another set about illnesses. All those illnesses all over. I just pick. I say this one. Yes, amen. 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 The man is mentioning, running through a whole list in case there's anybody that is having any problem there. I've come to carry this one away. And then you are busy sleeping. God, we will not sleep in Jesus' name. You just tell you, I beg, take, let me carry it away. Is this the garbage man? It's the garbage man. He's taking away all the garbage. Take away this garbage. Amen. And give me good health. Amen. Amen. That's the will of God. So that's how it starts with watching and praying. You know, and that's we need to turn to God with all of our hearts there. And so we start with the mommy preached this when during Monday night service, the three weapons. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Revelations 12:11, the word of their testimony. They loved their lives unto the death. Now that him. You know, the real thief, you know, I used to think, and it's true, but it's revelation in the sense that the devil is the thief. John 10:10.
The thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But then God told me, said, the thief is not the devil. The thief is the sin nature. The real thief is the sin nature. That sin nature in the flesh is the thief. So until you read him out, he's going to be stealing something. He's going to be trying to destroy something. He's going to be that's because he's there. So we have to learn to pray with travail and flush him out of the soul and of the body. Flush him out. That's what you're doing. You flush him out. Flush him out. So there's less of him and there's more life. Less of him and more life. And that limits his ability to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Until we have no more power. And the scripture will now come to pass concerning you. We said that the prince of this world cometh and he hath nothing in me. That's the portion in Jesus' name. But it's progressive. It's progressive. Amen. So we use the blood. And I like that beautiful scripture. You know, I don't need to quote it again. Pastor Andrew said it. Please just show us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. I don't know. The Holy Spirit must have asked you to do that because it's right here. All right. But you know, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that gave Jesus himself access back from the dead. When Jesus was coming back from dead, he needed his own blood legally to come back from the dead. Amen. And if you would make him, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the last covenant, verse 21. Thank you. Make you what? Perfect in every good work to do his will. Obeying instruction. Amen. Working in you and I that which is what? Well pleasing inside through Jesus Christ, whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So that blood, no. So let's come to the blood. Don't accept full responsibility for your wrongdoing. Don't give excuses. Even if you're not directly involved, if you are a part of it, accept responsibility. Because it, when you accept, it's humble, it humbles us. It humbles us. But that's the beginning of going higher. But until you come down to where your real level is, you'll be living in a fake place where you are not really at. Maybe you're not real. You think you are there, but you're not there. Mommy corrected me the other day, and I thank God she did. Last week Sunday, corrected me very sharply. And I thank God she did. And I just took it and said, Lord, help me. She has said, didn't it occur to you? And I was just looking. Like Luke was it. I couldn't answer. The signature is terrible. It's terrible. You won't be able to explain. I can understand that man that didn't have a garment. Bible says he was speechless. May you not be speechless in Jesus' name. You overcome the signature. You need to overcome. So it's an aggressive thing. So I was speechless. But then when I came to church, pastor was preaching. As I said, pastor was where mommy and I were. I said, thank God. In fact, when I quickly sent text, I said, mommy, I love you, love you, love you. Thank you, thank you. And then, because you know, Bible says, let the righteous smite me. It shall be excellent oil. We will not break my head. Some of us don't like rebuke. Talk as of strong rebuke. Or public rebuke. It's better than secret love. It's better than secret love. It will make you grow. And you know what? You know what? You will have dominion over the devil. Which is the bottom line. You know, why am I trying to pretend to be something I'm not? And the devil is lording it over me. I'd rather be on that side where I'm humbled, but then in the humility I receive grace to lord it over the devil. May God help us understand it. Amen. Next thing is the word of God. You must listen to word, apostolic word of spiritual fathers. It's extremely important. You know why? Because that's the word that builds you up. We all need to be built up spiritually. And you can't get it from your Bible reading alone. You need your Bible reading, but your Bible reading must be complemented with apostolic preaching and teaching. So that it gives you instruction, detailed wisdom.
and you don't have, you can't go left or right. You have to do exactly that. When you do that, you fall upon the rock. And then you become broken. You become more humble. You become more pain. Because you try to do it, you can't. So it's a process. But you keep trying. And as you keep trying, you keep getting better. And that's what brings growth. Remember, you're not fighting anybody. You're not trying to keep up appearances. You are running a race to change the texture of your soul and your body to the factory setting so that you can break the veil and enter and fulfill the word that God has given. Get it right. So once you see that this is what I'm doing, then you know all the other things that look important, they become unimportant. It's just pride and reputation. Like mommy said beautifully, or was it pastor? I can't remember. The two of them are one. Well, he said, Jesus came to earth, submitted himself to people that were his equal, prayed to his equal to save him from death. Don't pray. Let me pray to myself. Bible says that he was heard in that he feared. He was afraid. He shrank from the horror of sinning and said, God, save me. Throw your, then we should all take our reputation and throw it into the Red Sea. The Dead Sea, just throw it away. What people think about you, it's not important. It is what God thinks about you and I that really matters. And when you know who you are, God will make it manifest. The Bible says, don't let judge anything before the time. Let's wait on the right time. And then every man will have praise of God. It's very important. Right, amen. Word of God. So, and then learn to hide the word of God in your heart. Mommy always tells us something. Say, you people, please, can you tell me where the scripture is? You find it, I'll give it to mommy. But 1 second, done. Tell Pastor Abraham, bam! He has a concordance in his head. Bam! Comes out. The mommy will say, you people, thank God for you. God bless you. You people have so much word in your head. But I thank God. And the little I know, I'm walking in it. Aboroni. What is of Oluabi? So Olati Dodindi, like Isaac, you receive it, and then God will put light upon it. That is not how much you know. You hide the word of God in your heart in meditation. Some of us I used to, but now God has had mercy on me. I prayed and begged God. I said, have mercy on me. I make the confession diligently. I love God with all of my heart, will, soul, man. I love my brethren as Christ loves them, washing their feet by forgiving. That means once I made the confession, that's the end. I said I'll be confessing and forgiving every hour. I don't remember every hour. Next one is the next 6 hours. Maybe you are like me. There's hope for you. And there's hope for you. You know what? Just target it. Pastor Andrew always reminds us on where Daniel said, pray in the spirit. I said, thank God, man of God. You put fire there. Every hour, Lord, have mercy on me. Clean with blood, Jesus, in my heart, life. Pray. Wash people's feet. Ask life for them. Pray for them in tongues. Pray for yourself. Very important. This is where it's at. Amen. As we close. And then finally, love not your life unto death. And that's an attitude. But before you get the attitude, you must pray in the spirit to get that attitude. Praying in tongues and pray with travail. The essence of it is to cleanse ourselves of the sin nature. Bible talks about the washing of water by the word, and then to distribute. That's the word. Distribute the life of God in your system. You have a spiritual system that is patterned after your physical system is patterned out of the spiritual system. So when you pray in the spirit, you distribute the life of God. So it gives you light. So you start seeing things the way God sees them. And seeing situations the way God sees them. So you don't react. So instead of doing that, a word of caution. And it is when you do that, that you can now have that attitude
that attitude. We pray about it ever so often. Out of humility, repentance, and penitence unto all watchfulness and preparedness. It's an attitude. Put it this way, an attitude of the fear of God. Recognize that your best intentions can fail. That you can know the right thing to do. Swear that you will not do it. Can you imagine Peter? The reason why he was where he denied Jesus was because he loved the man. If he didn't love the man, he would not be there. Sometimes we are going in one direction, but in our heart, we are going in the opposite direction. Jose sent me something one day that showed that it's not the strength, it's direction. They were running a race, you know, and there was somebody that was running the other direction. He was going in the other direction. He says, and they wrote there, sometimes it's not so much the effort you put in, it's the direction. I said, Jesus, it's very important. It looks comical, but when you talk about how sometimes real issues of life and death, you are going in a certain direction. This is what you want. The man, the rich young ruler, came and asked, there was something he wanted. What was that to have eternal life? You know, maybe it was not rich young ruler. There was a man that asked, what must I do to have eternal life? He said it, that you must want to have eternal life. He said it. He was asking for more life. And then they said, oh yeah, go and do this. And when he said, you should go and do this, he could not do it. So when you understand that, it's not all about what I know to do. How no enshanu me. Please, just help me. Help me. You lose confidence in yourself. It's called poorness of spirit. Bible says, this is the kingdom of heaven. God will help us, brethren. So that's it, brethren. That's it. God is taking us to the other side, where he's restoring our soul and our flesh to the factory setting, so that our flesh will no longer be a hindrance. It will become an ally. So anytime you want to do the will of God, your flesh will be encouraging you. You will not. When you want to pray, your flesh, when you want to watch football, you say, let's leave this one and go and pray now. Amen. Amen. I want a bit more of God's presence. Let's go and worship God. We should go and worship God. Oh, yeah, let's go. I want to study more word. I'm hungry. Really? I thought you wanted Bokoto. Amen. But you know what I'm saying? The flesh no longer is a hindrance. It becomes a support to serve God. Amen. Amen. An ally. Amen. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Let's talk to God. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Let's now renounce the hidden things of dishonesty and those secret faults. Pray this prayer. There was a person that shared with me and said, God told me to pray that prayer. And I also prayed it. And when I prayed it, some things happened. But I'm the better for you today. Pray that prayer. Say, Lord, show me my secret faults. They're not secret in the sense that you don't know them. But many times, in broad daylight, we don't recognize it. Ask God to have mercy on you. So you will see it. It will not pass you by. And once you see it, repent. Forsake. And ask for mercy. Pray. Find the scripture. And hide it in your heart. I love righteousness and I hate sin. And pray it and say it. This word will not depart out of your mouth and out of your heart. You will meditate day and night that you might observe to do. Know what you're going through, but God is here. Don't be afraid. He's there. You may be like Abraham, and it's like, is it going to cost me this? Is it going to cost me this? Don't be afraid. Trust. That's the forbidding, that's the major forbidding gap that Mommy shared with us. Trust Him. He will not share us with anyone else. Trust Him. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I find the joy of reaching your heart, and when my will becomes enthroned in your become shadows in the light of you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today. And so we come to pray under the covering of our fathers, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus, that we pledge our lives to worship you, to cleave to you, so that we will become one with you. And through us, you will speak. Through us, you will touch. Through us, you will walk. Through us, you will change. Help us, Lord, so that we will continue to renounce hidden things of dishonesty. We will not walk in craftiness. We will not handle the word of God deceitfully, but we will turn at your word, at your instruction, at your reproof, and we will present our bodies a living sacrifice, transformed by the renewing of our mind, proving all of your will, even that goes beyond the veil, carrying your glory unto the ends of the earth. Have mercy on me. Give me an attitude of repentance, penitence, and humility unto all watchfulness and preparedness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you.
kate bo sate ka bo bo ba robo bo bo sate bengalas robo koko de bania. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for your great mercies upon us in this house today under the covering of our fathers. I want to thank you for the wonderful word that has come, Lord, first of all in the morning, and now, Lord, this word, Lord, of encouragement, of consolation, taking us further into your divine purposes. Oh, what a privilege. What a great, great honor it is to hear these words, to be impacted, Lord, by them under the covering of our fathers. We're so deeply grateful to you, Lord. We thank you for everything. We return to you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Therefore, as one under authority, having authority under the covering of my fathers, under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherd and bishop of our souls, in which of faith, my brethren, so may the Lord bless and keep us all. The Lord make his face to shine upon us. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon us. The Lord God gives us peace. God makes his head and not tail. So we're above only and not beneath. So we prosper in all that we set our hands upon to do. We are at least 10 times better than our peers by an ever-increasing enlightenment of our minds in the name of Jesus. So we possess the gates of our enemy, even the gates of death, so we shall live, we shall not die. We shall live to declare the glory of God in this day in the land of the living in the name of Jesus. The Lord satisfies us all and all of our loved ones with long life. He shows us his salvation, the perfection and the fullness of Christ, and the manifestation of the glory of the Spirit without measure in Jesus' name. The Lord anoints us with the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's share the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell your neighbor, say, no bone shall be broken. God bless you all. Thank you so much for coming. Please.